Jim, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Nice to be with you, Scott and Karen.
And we appreciate you making time on this beautiful day in Western Canada. The trade deadline shakes down. Toronto pushes a bunch of chips in. Are the Leafs the team in the North, or just one of the teams in the North in your mind at this point?
I still think that they're probably going to finish first the way things look right now. But in terms of who comes out of the North, I don't think it's a lock that it's the Maple Leafs. They're pretty good, and I like what they did at the deadline. Their top end is so good, and Matthews is having a fantastic season. But Winnipeg is really good, too. Winnipeg is really deep. They didn't address much about their defense, really, at the deadline, but they're spectacular in goal. And that's a real difference maker, isn't it? I mean, Hellebuck could steal a series from anybody. And the outlier for me would be Edmonton. I'm not sure about Montreal, and it looks like they're going to get the fourth spot. But Edmonton's a bit of an outlier because we all know what they have at the top end. We're just not sure what contribution they'll get from everywhere else, including goaltending. So they're a bit of a wild card. So in answer to your question, no, I don't think the Leafs are a lock, but they're probably the best of the top three.
Jim, when you look at what Kyle Dubas has done with this team, we can look, of course, at the trade deadline just yesterday. He brought in Nick Foligno, David Rittich to shore up some goaltending with some question marks with Frederik Andersen's health. Of course, also Ben Hutton for some depth defense there. But when I look at Foligno and what he's done in the summer, too, with bringing in Wayne Simmonds and Joe Thornton and now Nick Foligno, do you like the veteran presence that he's bringing in to insulate that young core?
I do. And I don't. I don't think you want to get too much of it. I don't think you want to get too many 35 to 40-year-old players on your team. Because it's, I mean, not only is this a grueling season because of the nature of it, but the playoffs are no picnic at all, and it's still going to be four rounds and four seven-game series. So I really do like the character. I love bringing in Nick Foligno. I think he's going to be fine. And I think it remains to be seen how Thornton and Spezza play when they get into the playoffs. They look pretty good. So I do like what he did in building a deeper team and bringing in veterans to help his young players along. I think we've seen it all season long. But, you know, the results will show in the playoffs.
You mentioned Joe Thornton. He's not a league dog anymore. We all know that. He doesn't have much to show for this past month, Jim. It started really well in Toronto, but that's 13 straight games to the point, just 2 points in his last 20. I know he doesn't have to be the biggest point producer there, but given what he is supposed to be for that team, should the Leafs be giving him some regular games off in advance of the playoffs?
Good question. Maybe if they stretch their lead to the point where they're really comfortable with it, probably – not a bad idea. I really haven't looked specifically at their schedule. I've been looking at a few other teams that have an absolutely brutal schedule, including Vancouver down the stretch. So I'm not sure. Everybody's got three games and four nights a couple of times here. So there's probably an opportunity there to take him out of the lineup. What I'm disappointed in Joe about is that I thought that he'd chip in some power play points. And because, you know, you don't have to be the fastest guy on the team to be in a good position to help the power play. And right now, I mean, as good as their team has been the last couple of weeks, their power play has been dreadful. And he hasn't been able to, you know, I thought he'd get some cookies while he was getting some second power play time, maybe even some first power play time early on. So that's a little bit of a disappointment. On the other hand, Spezza has been pretty good. And Foligno will slot nicely into a third line. And probably, you know, if you could just imagine him playing alongside, let's say, Pierre Engvall and Ilya Mikheyev, for example. Those two are really young guys, and they would really benefit, I think, from the presence of an older, experienced guy who really knows how to play in those situations. So, you know, there's a tug both directions when you start to bring in veterans who you know have probably played beyond their best before date. So you're not really sure how much you're going to get and how often you're going to get it.
You're right. It's pretty wild to see Austin Matthews basically scoring at will and that power play not being able to generate any power play goals. Jim Houston of Hockey Night in Canada joining us here with Rintoul and Sermon. I'm glad you mentioned the schedule. There was an uproar in Vancouver when it got announced, and I understand why. And yet, Jim, you look at Montreal's schedule, go through Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, Dallas. This is not something unlike the NHL has asked other teams to work through around COVID, is it?
No. The only difference is that Vancouver's pretty much going to do it on their own at the end. And it's probably a little more pronounced with, I think there's, well, you know the numbers for the 19 games, but it's 3 games in 4 nights in about 5 different sets. And that's just an awful lot of hockey, but especially when you consider the 22 days off and the fact that they had just about the entire team down with COVID, and we have no idea, you know, which guys were asymptomatic, which people had symptoms, which people will have longer symptoms. Jersey was probably the team that had the most number of cases when they had to shut down, and they went down for 17 days and then came out of it and won their first two and then went 1-7. The records haven't generally been very good for teams coming out of the long break, so I'm not sure what to expect there. But, yeah, the schedule does no team any favors whatsoever, none. And so everybody fights through it, and the Canucks are in a position now where I bet if you put truth serum in some of those guys, they just would say, let's just get this over with. Let's be done with this. But they'll play on, and, you know, they'll do their best. That's what hockey players usually do, and the other teams that have to fight through tough schedules will do it. I'm just wondering whether it's going to be a war of attrition, and who's the team that gets the jump in the playoffs is probably the team that's got the full lineup and got enough guys to be really good.
Yes. So from a motivation standpoint, that's what makes this stretch really difficult for Vancouver, in addition to the 22 days off that you talked about. Boston's currently finishing its season with 19-32. Montreal's in the midst of playing 19-32. Jim, on one hand, might it actually make it easier for Vancouver that they're so far out of the playoff chase right now, even though there is still math that could technically get them there, that they don't have to feel like they play all of their big guys all of the time?
You're right about that, Scott. You can watch some ice time, because I'd be with all of these schedules, the number of games that are being played. And when you look around the league and see the number of teams that have lots of players out of their lineup, including almost the entire Bruin defense, and they've got to still play through this. So you got to play with kids, and the opportunity is there for Vancouver, if they're going to be right out of it, to spread the ice time around, to have a look at what they've got. We saw some of the players on their taxi squad through this season, didn't see very much of them, but for the most part, especially the defense, are all really young guys. So why not get them in there and have a look at them, and don't play Quinn Hughes 30 minutes every night, because you're not going to be able to do that. But the wild card here is we don't even know what the team's going to look like. We don't even know who's coming back to start with, and what kind of a lineup they're going to have. So they're probably going to have to go to some kids right away, because I can't imagine that by Friday, everybody is out of this COVID problem.
I think we've lost Karen's mic there temporarily. We'll get her back on in a second. Jim Houston of Hockey Night in Canada joining us here. One of the things we wanted to talk to you about is Milan Lucic playing game number 1,000 tonight. It's Calgary and Toronto, and he's likely going to get to see his recently former goaltender David Rittich in that game as well. When you think of Milan Lucic and his career, where he came from, what comes to mind for you, Jim?
A couple of things. One is the shift at the Memorial Cup. It was like a defining shift in Milan's career, against Medicine Hat early in the game. People who were there, people who were around it, people who were never there still talk about that. And it paved the way for him to become one of the most rugged left wingers in the game. And by the time that Boston won the Stanley Cup against Vancouver in 2011, there was no better, tougher left winger in the game. And he paid his dues for that. You know, he had to work hard for that, and he had to fight through a lot and fight through a lot of people to establish himself in that position. And I just think he still does some pretty good things. He just can't do it as often, but I still see him as a pretty effective guy for Calgary on occasion. If they get him on the right line and that line gets going, and they forecheck hard, and Milan can still get there to throw a body check, and he can still put the odd puck in the net. Ain't like it used to be in Boston. There's no question about that. But look at the mileage on him now at 1,000 games. But that's as hard a working 1,000 games as you'll ever see. I remember an old line about an old Bruin, so that's appropriate for Milan. Terry O'Reilly, after he retired, one of the lines about his retirement was that he spent his entire career going into the corners, and he either came out with a penalty or the puck. And that's kind of Luch as well.
That does sound. Can you hear me now, guys? Okay, I think we're good to go.
There you go.
That does sound like Milan Lucic very much, Jim. That's a good comparison analogy. Just staying with the Calgary Flames, of course, they traded Sam Bennett yesterday to the Florida Panthers for a pair of second-round picks. When you look at, of course, where he was drafted at fourth overall, highest draft pick in Flames franchise history, and maybe what could have been, why do you think it didn't work out for Sam Bennett?
I think, from my view from the outside, it looked to me like he got every opportunity. And I agree with a lot of the commentary yesterday at the trade deadline that he wanted to be something he's not. He wanted to play up the lineup, was quite often disappointed or maybe too hard on himself that he couldn't get into the, you know, couldn't play consistently with, say, Johnny and Monty. He did get a shot there. He did get a shot at second line. He got a shot at third line center. But he never consistently stayed there. And I think when players are like that, I think that they, you could, you know, easily blame a couple of coaches, but I don't think it's always the coach's fault. It's often the player has to look inward and say, okay, what am I? What can I be? And where can I be at my best? And I think that's Sam. I think I like him. I think he's going to be a fine player. And I think Joel Quenneville will slot him in a place. And if he can get happy with that, because it's not going to be in their top six in all likelihood, if he can get happy with that and just work for the team and work the way he has in some playoff games every game, then I think he can go on to have a successful career. It's not going to look like the banner career that I think everybody thought and maybe he thought when he was drafted so high, but it can still be a really good, solid career. He's still an NHL player.
Jim, I want to ask you before we let you go about the Montreal Canadiens. Is the one team that hasn't quite wrapped up that spot? I agree with what you said earlier this interview that Montreal is likely going to wind up there, which means Montreal, Toronto first round, Winnipeg, Edmonton in the first round. What do you need to learn about the Montreal Canadiens over the next few weeks? Or do you know enough about what you saw last year in the bubble with the way they played?
Well, see, that's the real disappointment for me in watching the Montreal Canadiens. I witnessed every one of the games they played in the bubble, and it looked like their center ice position had arrived, that Phil Deneau could, you know, finally settle in where he belongs as a good number three, maybe as high as a number two center, and that Nick Suzuki and Jesperi Kotkaniemi were ready to play on a daily basis and be NHL centers. But what we've learned this season is just how hard it is to be a center in the National Hockey League. They're still good players, but they haven't had as good a season as I thought they would. So that's where, you know, they bring in Eric Staal as a little cushion there to help out where he can. But they're, from what I expected, when I saw what they did in the playoffs and how well Weber played and Carey Price was absolutely spectacular. They, you know, they beat Pittsburgh, and I think they should have beat Philadelphia. I think they were the better team, and they ended up losing the series. But they looked like they were set up to be such a good team this year, and they just haven't been able to do it. Price has never got on one of his long streaks where he's the best goalie on the planet. Their defense has been pretty good, and then they lost Ben Sherratt. But down the middle, they are played with inconsistency, and they need to find that in the next little while. Or, you know, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but they won't be a tough out.
There are very few things you have yet to do in your career as a hockey broadcaster, but call a Montreal-Toronto series is one of them, and it looks like you might get that chance, Jim.
Yeah, you never know. They're set up to play each other. The disappointment would be, as it is for everybody, that when two iconic teams like that meet, you want it to be an event. You want it to be spectacular. You want to walk down St. Catherine Street on the day of the game and feel that everybody in Montreal is engaged in the game. You want to walk down Bay Street and feel the same. You want to walk out of the arena, whichever one they play at the end of the evening, and find thousands upon thousands of people so excited about what they just witnessed. And so the fact that it's all going to be in empty rinks, it simply can't be as special. I mean, I felt that with Tampa winning the Cup. They earned it. They were full value for it. But I felt bad for them that they didn't get to really celebrate it with thousands and thousands of people that wanted to be there. So that aside, I hope we can get back to that soon enough, but it will take a little of the luster off some of the great playoffs we'll see.
Yeah, Jim, you're making me feel very nostalgic for what could be come maybe hopefully next season. We're back to that, right?
Oh, yeah. So, Karen, I just thought I had so many times last year during the bubble walking over to the rink when it was 30 degrees outside wearing a suit that was glued to me by the time I got there. And then there was nobody on the street. I'd walk through Toronto. I didn't even have to stop at a traffic light. Just walk across the middle of the street to get to the rink and then walk outside at the end of it. And you couldn't even go and get a pizza anywhere. It was just closed up. And the same kind of thing was happening in Edmonton. And it's disappointing. It's taken us as a society and the world to get through this, but we have to carry on. And it looks like these playoffs are going to be similar, a little more travel involved, but the buildings are going to pretty much look the same.
Jim, excellent stuff as always. We look forward to reconnecting in advance of the playoffs and then certainly during the postseason as well. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.